Welcome, everyone. So I'll get you to all just introduce yourselves, starting with the sir over there.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Magwenzi, and I'm the senior pastor of C3 Fremantle as well as C3 Kwinana. And it's good that you could all join us here this morning. Welcome to all our new people and to all our church members. I'm glad that I wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't here last week, so it's really good to be back in church.
Yeah, thank you.
My name is Janine Potier, and just recently became the leader of the Ladies Fellowship. So if there's any new ladies here that would like to join us, you're more than welcome to join.
Thank you.
Morning, I'm Donovan Potier, Janine's husband. I'm an elder in the church. And I've been here now for 2 years. So, welcome, everybody.
Thank you. So we've been going through a series, and today is the last week of a three-part series on relationships. The first week was relationship with yourself, and we're talking about the importance of making sure that you take care of yourself so that you can have better relationships with other people. And in particular, we talked about the importance of addressing any wounds that you have, because, you know, we all have had all sorts of experiences, and we need to address those wounds because they impact how we do relationships. The second week, we talked about relationship with others, and we talked about the importance of handling with care your relationships with people, because people are made in the image of God. So sometimes we have problems with people. We don't like some people, whether they're Christian or not. We just have tensions in relationships, and some people we just would rather not even interact with. So the importance of being able to look at those people the way God sees them, and we focus on the scripture about loving your neighbor as yourself and what that actually means. So this week, we're looking at relationship with God, with particular focus on during the winter season. So it's a little bit different. Who here absolutely loves winter? One, two people, three people. That just amazes me that there's actually people who love winter. I hate it. I'm from a very hot country. I can't stand any type of cold. So I think winter is a very interesting time. But I don't like winter because it's cold, it's dark, it's depressing, you name it. I don't know why people like it. So we're looking at relationship with God during the winter season, when things are dark, when things are difficult, and you can't seem to feel like God is there for you. Times when people have unanswered prayers, right? That's an example of a winter season. So just want to start off with this question. And maybe I'll get you, Donovan, to start. I'll pick on you.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone through a winter season over the years where, you know, you found yourself in just deep pain, in just a deep struggle?
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. We're originally from South Africa, and when I gave my heart to the Lord, it would have been round about 92, I think, 92, 93. And it just so happened that it was a challenging time for me. I gave my heart to the Lord. The next best thing, the job that I was working, it was towards Christmas time, so they closed. The company closed all of a sudden. So there's no work coming up to Christmas, which we all know is an important time for family, and you need to buy a lot of things. And all of a sudden, I've given my heart to the Lord a few months before this, now no job. It's like, what's going on? And then families coming down to visit from different places, they all have expectations. Where we're staying, rent is due for the month. But that never stopped me from continuing to trust the Lord. I was going to pray, like, at the church, just drive my car there and pray. And there was a little company, usually towards Christmas time, everybody's closing. But this little company had work going on. and they had work for me and my mate through this time that was just enough to pay the rent. So that's one area covered. The Lord said, put your trust in me and I will take care of you. And it just so happened that my wife had got her voucher from one of the books that said, you could buy now and pay later. What happened was we went shopping and we went with my brother. They had come from Johannesburg to Durban to visit. Didn't realize we just had a little bit of money left, which would not carry us to do all what we had to do. We bought so many groceries and toys for the children, and everything was done during this time. And it was the first time for Christmas time I was not partaking in certain beverages that I used to have all the years. And for me, I didn't miss much. But the family weren't happy because they knew this time of the year I was an important figure. I would make sure there was always something going on. But now all of a sudden, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why are you now not partaking in this important time? And I was just, don't worry about it. I've made a decision. Mm. And the Lord brought me through. And in January of the following year, I started a really good job and the Lord took care of the rest. So I never took my eyes off him during this dark time.
Yep.
Nobody knew, but I knew that it was really challenging because, how come now that I've given my heart to the Lord, all of a sudden things have just gone changed all of a sudden. There's no this, no that, lost. The job closed before time. Everything just happened. But the Lord brought me through. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, that's really interesting, you know, because I think for a lot of people, when you first give your life to Christ, it's very exciting, and everything around it is just this new life. And in that, there's an expectation that everything is going to go really, really well. So when something like that happens, it's kind of a bit of a shock to the system. Yeah, but God is faithful. So, Janine, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with the winter season?
Well, I've had quite a few winter experiences, especially when, you know, when things happen to you and you sort of, you don't want to talk about it, so you harbor everything inside. And with that you keep everything inside, it sort of, it makes you an angry person, you know. It makes you so angry that you become like an enemy to everybody. Everybody that looks at you and they look, think, they see you and they say to you, you know, even if they just ask you something and you just explode, you know, because of all the anger that you got inside. And sometimes it's hard to get that anger out of you, you know. And, well, I've been through a lot with the anger because of the anger is not because of the hurt inside is not because of people that have physically hurt you, but it's the people that have said some things, you know. Mm. They have said some things, and there is a saying that say words hurts more than physical, you know. And that is very sort of, you know, because when you think of things that people are saying, sometimes in the morning when you get up and you know, like sometimes now I've just started getting up in the morning and I'll, you know, get up and I'll just say, morning, Jesus, you know, and I'm off to the toilet. But before that, I would be getting up and I'll be, you know, getting up and you'll be thinking of, oh, you know, what this one said 20 years ago, you know, and it still hurts you.
Yep.
And you wonder, you know, how am I going to get out of this, you know?
Yeah.
How am I? But then I, you know, I sort of just, like, with myself, I became so bitter and I became so angry that even sometimes I think my children also didn't really care for me that much, even especially Kaylee, because she lived with us. You know, Craig was at that side. But even with Kaylee, it's like she rather wanted to be out of the house than in the house, because even if she opened her mouth, then I would be having, you know, sort of arguments, you know, because it wasn't a nice place for her to be at home. Yeah. Even with Donnie too, when you come from work, it's, and, you know, it's just fighting and bitterness. But now I've come to that place where when I see bitter people, and then I sort of, I looked at myself and I said, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when I started, I wasn't like that. You know, I was normally a nice person, you know. And then I sort of started changing. And, you know, even with the job that I'm doing now, you know, you meet so many different people. And when you look at people, you know, nice people, and you say, you know, that I started doing volunteering work.
Yeah.
And you know, every year the company used to give us like a sort of a dinner or a lunch. And then when you look at that, and when, you know, when they call up people that's been 20 years doing voluntary work, and they go up and get a something, and then I would say to myself, that's what I want to do, you know? I want to be 20 years doing this, and, you know, for the goodness, not for whatever, but just to be, you know, people can remember for your goodness, not for your anger and for your bitterness, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, I've really had a lot of conversations and a lot of fights with God to say, you know, why do I keep on thinking about hurtful things? Why can't I think about, you know, the happy things?
Yeah.
You know, even if somebody just says something negative, oh, I'll be sulking forever, you know? And yeah, slowly but surely, like, you know, God sort of took that out. He started changing. Because sometimes, you know, you got to get to the root of where your anger comes from.
That's good.
You know? And when you do find that root, you know, pray against it, you know? And pray and ask God to forgive, you know, for whatever. If it's you that have started that or whoever started it, pray for those people, you know? Your worst enemy too. Because sometimes I know it's hard to pray for your enemy because they've put you through this and now you must still bless them. But it's good to bless. Now I've learned it's good to give than to receive.
Yeah.
You know, you get a more blessing than to give than to receive. And yeah.
Well, thank you. Sounds like you've been through quite a lot then. You've been able to kind of go through that and reflect on, I guess, God working on you. So that's really, really good to hear. Pastor Stephen, you shared a bit in Fremantle about your own winter season, and I'm not sure if you want to share that story or a different one, but if you do, I'll summarize it, and then I just want to ask a question in regards to that. So Pastor Stephen talked about his winter season and how when we first moved to Perth from Port Hedland, he had just, you know, quit his job and started a business and had these expectations about how it was all going to go, and it didn't turn out that way, and that was a very difficult time for him. So just want to ask, was there anything that made it any easier or more difficult to go through that period?
Yes, one of the key things through that whole experience was there's things can happen in this way. First, you might cause yours winter season, then there might be the devil that is fighting against you, so that's causing your winter season. And then, of course, the third one is God. Now, if it's yourself and the devil, you know that God is going to be there for you and is going to help you out. But sometimes if it's God, well, then you're going to have to deal with God. And so that was going through that season for me was trying to work out, is it myself? Is it the enemy? Because if it's the enemy, then you are praying and you're, you know, what do we do?
Binding.
We're binding everything. You know, I bind and I'm pleading the blood. That's what we do as Christians. We plead the blood, and all those things are quite important to do. But then the key thing, I guess, was when you understand that sometimes a winter season is caused by God himself, then you know that you have to do work with God. And I can say that it was not a nice time. It's never nice to go through hard times, because we all want to make sure that life is nice and smooth.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is not smooth, and it is painful. And it's, I doubted God, I think, during that time. When it started happening, when, you know, when things are drying up, the money is not coming in like you expected. Before, you're like, thank you, Lord, you're faithful, you can do it. And then another month or two goes in, and nothing is coming in. And you're like, Lord, where are you? I thought you were faithful. So before, I'm saying you are faithful. And then it's like, ooh, I thought you were faithful. And then a few months go and you say, ooh, you're not faithful. And so then you start battling with God himself, and you start really, I started being really angry at God to the point where I would say, God, you know, I don't think you are, I think you're useless, you know. I don't think that you are who you say you are, because of what I was going through. And I recognized, just to finish it off, that my perspective during that time was like it was a punishment. Why am I going through this? Why are you punishing me? And then, you know, you start looking at all the things that you've gone through and that you've done. And it's just one of those things where the battle is really your perspective. All I want to say is that your perspective on life and your perspective on God completely changes during that time.
Yeah, I think it's interesting talking about the punishment thing, you know, because Romans 8:35 talks about, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And I would add as well, or we are suffering. You know, it's very clear that God's love, nothing can separate us from that. But when we're going through a winter season, we reach our own conclusions, like Pastor Stephen is saying, that, you know, am I being punished? And sometimes we think God doesn't care. So I just wonder, have either one of you experienced that moment of God doesn't care, or God is trying to punish me through whatever I'm going through?
Well, sometimes I do feel like, you know, I felt like that, you know, God is not there. Why isn't he, you know, why doesn't he come through, you know? But the thing is with, you know, God comes through in different ways. Like, yeah. He doesn't come through in the way that you want him to come through, you know?
Yeah.
He maybe comes through in a different direction, or in a different way, whatever it is, you know, or different person comes to you with this, or, you know, something like that. He uses different ways to get to you and to speak to you.
Okay.
For me, I would say it's like a challenge. During that same time, what I went through, what I spoke about earlier, when I lost my job, the job finished up, and some friends came to visit, and they said, no, we're working in a certain area, which is about 2 hours away from where we live. Come with us, and then we'll see if we can get something for you. And I went with them, but when you get to the job, obviously they're working, they go in, they leave you at the gate. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting at the gate, and I said to the security, no, look, they told me I can go in and see this guy for the job, and he said, no, you can't go in there. You have to have somebody fetch you to go in. And I thought, but these guys told me, come with us, there's a job. I end up going. The guy said to me, if you don't get in here, go somewhere else. I had to get a lift to go to another place, and it's like a desert. There's just sand dunes all over. That's the place where they make this, for the TV screens, this from the sand, the glass. So that's what they're mining there. And it's a real desert kind of a place. And I went in there, and got to the area where they're hiring people, and the guy said, oh, we just hired the last guy now. And I'm like, man, I've come from so far. Now this, I've got to go back.
Yeah.
And as I get out of this area, because it's an enclosed area, fenced up, and there's the road outside, three guys walking past. Without talking, I just started walking with them, because now we're going back this way. But I've got a car at home. And I'm thinking, I could have come with my own car, yeah. But now, these guys said, come with us. Next thing, I found myself in this situation. I'm walking, and it's far walk. We were walking for so long, and it was so hot. As we came past some trees, we just walked under the trees and fell asleep without nobody saying anything. And then we got a lift later on. A truck came past. We ran in the road and stopped the truck. There was no asking for a lift. So it's like, God, why am I going through this kind of thing?
Yep.
This is a challenge that now that you are a Christian, are you going to be able to keep steadfast without saying, no, God, nah,
yeah,
I can't trust you anymore. Mm. Why am I going through this kind of suffering?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
One thing that came up a lot the previous panel was the idea of God's character and the role of God's character in how we go through the season. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And quite often we quote that scripture to people or to ourselves. But the big question is, what does that actually mean? And Pastor Stephen, I get you to speak into this. What does that actually mean to trust God? What does that look like?
I think to trust is, trust sometimes is based on experience. And so when I experience God, when I have time with God, then I begin to understand him better. But I also take the word of God. And the word of God would say that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I can easily say that when I've never been, I have to be forsaken for me to understand that God does not forsake. I have to experience what that is for me to know that he actually backs up his word. So for me to know God as a provider, I have to suffer lack. I have to suffer lack or experience lack, so that he actually does come in and provide for me. Because then I will call him Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen. Similarly, I have to go through battles. I have to experience the battles. And we know that experiencing battles is not a good thing. So that I can then say, Jehovah Nisi, you are my banner. You give me victory. So all of this is, and so to trust is to actually experience what God's word is and to believe him for the things that he says to us. And I think most importantly, when we are going through these difficult, very difficult times, we have to understand that when a tree, if they want, where the people that grow roses, they normally prune them back, or they prune fruit trees back. And the reason they do that is so that they can be, the roses can grow even more, and the fruit trees can, the harvest becomes even bigger. And so when God, when we go through difficult seasons, it's like we are being pruned so that we can become more fruitful.
Yeah.
To trust God is to experience what his word actually says, and to believe that he's not going to abandon us during those difficult times.
Yeah. Thank you. Janine, is there anything that you would do differently just in terms of the winter season that you went through? Now that you've gone through it, would you do anything differently in how you navigate that?
Yes, I mean, from now, I would really like, you know, as Pastor's saying, to trust God, because sometimes we don't trust. You know, we don't put enough trust in there. But as Pastor Steve is saying, you know, God always, he comes through for whatever you trust in, you know, you put your trust in him.
Yeah. Okay, so more trust. Donovan, Pastor Stephen talked about trying to work out, is this happening to me because of what I've done? Is it happening because of the devil, or is it happening because of God? Some people might be wondering, well, how do I tell the difference? How do I know to stop binding and, you know, casting devils out,
yeah,
versus just that surrender and saying, okay, God, let your will be done. I completely surrender. How can you tell the difference?
Yeah, it's like when we were in the men's meeting on Friday. Andrew was not here today, and we were talking about Romans, trusting God. Mm. And he asked a question there, you know, how would you draw close to God and, you know, want to trust him more? And the one man that was there, he said straight out, I'm angry with God. Because his wife was taken away, she had cancer. And so I wanted to answer straight away, but I thought, no, just leave it. Because I went through a similar experience with my father when he was very sick. Mm. And we were at the hospital, and I was praying continuous. And I suppose people around see and they know, you know, you want God to do this miracle. But then at one stage, it was in the ICU, I went outside just to sit. There's a bench there, and there was a man sitting there. I didn't know him. And he said to me, brother, I just want to say something to you. You know, you got to learn to let go. Mm. He said, there comes a time that you got to release.
Yeah.
Now, you are hoping for the best, that my father would recover and all that. And that's what I wanted to tell that brother, because you got to have faith to know that one day I will meet this person again in heaven and release them. So you got to know the difference between, or maybe I won't see this person again. So where is your faith? Where is your hope? Mm. It's like, oh, well, this person's gone forever. And that's the same thing. You got to trust God.
Yeah.
When the enemy is attacking, yes, you need to bind, you need to cancel, but then you got to know God will take over. Mm. If you're going to keep on binding and casting out and hoping this is just going to happen, but you're not putting, you know, you got to put God first in everything and let him take care. Mm. So I don't know if that answers.
Yeah, no, it does. It's really, it's that you do all those things, but you ultimately it's about trusting God and handing over that control to God and surrender. Pastor Stephen, when we were talking about this last week, you kind of shared something similar about your grandmother. Do you want to speak into that?
Yes, my grandmother was I think she was diagnosed. She had, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, and then heart disease. And she was given 30%, her heart was functioning at 30% capacity. And so I thought, 30%, I can work with that, Lord. you know, 30% is better than no percent. Yeah. So, you know, you keep praying and you're believing and you're really going for it. But I remember going to meet with her in Zimbabwe and just the discussion we were having. Here I am, I'm hoping that my grandmother survives and she keeps on living until she's 200. But here this lady just telling me about just the visions that she's had and just this, just about she saw about heaven, about God, and, you know, and she was so happy. And I'm thinking, okay, that's good, but, you know, we want you to live. Eventually, and I'm believing and I'm praying, Lord, you can do this. Lord, you can do this. Now, eventually, I got the phone call that the lady's passed away. And that was sad. You know, that was very sad. And I think that the reality is that there are just some things this side of life that we will never understand. That's just the reality. I think that's, you know, there's the scriptures that talk about nobody can search the mind of God. Mm-hmm. Nobody can really, I've come to that realization that we cannot understand God fully, because there's some people that get healed miraculously, and then there's some people that unfortunately, irrespective of the amount of faith we can exercise, they don't get healed. But does that God make, that still, God can still heal. We I still believe, even though my grandmother passed away, I still believe that God can heal.
Yeah. That's a really good point. You know, it reminds me when our second daughter was in hospital in 2009, and she was born with, you know, complications. And 2 weeks after she was born, we get a phone call to rush to the hospital because, you know, she's not breathing properly. We get to the hospital, and when we get there, there's all these, you know, the things you see in the movies, all these doctors wearing all these blue gowns. I don't know, blue or green, but anyway, wearing these gowns. And you walk in, and they tell you to step back because the machine started beeping. Mm. You see four doctors, blue gowns, and you think, okay, this is it. Mm. You know, and you've gone through this complicated pregnancy. You've had the baby. You've believed God for the miracle. And then this happens. And I remember standing there with Pastor Stephen, and I was in tears, and I'm like, why are you not crying? And he's like, you know, we can't both be crying. And I remember walking out of hospital at some point with a bunch of flowers and no babies, no baby. You know, I can still see myself standing there and just feeling defeated. And I heard the words, and this became kind of a song, the words, the tears you cry for me don't nullify who I am. And that became a song in me that just gave me strength. You know, her name is Bitepo, and we kind of said, you know, God's faithfulness. And it was like, the tears I cry, just because I am suffering, just because I am crying, it doesn't mean he is no longer God. You know, it's like, was it Daniel and his friends? I think you're talking about that. It's Daniel and his friends, the ones that said, you know, whether you rescue us or you don't rescue us, we won't bow down. Mm-hmm. So just that understanding that it's not about using our circumstances to determine the goodness of God. It's not only when things go our way. It's not only when he answers our prayers that we praise him. We still praise him, whether we get the answer we prayed for or we don't. You know, so I thought that was really important. So just to wrap it up, just the last question for all of you to please answer. What do you think are some practical things that people can do to support someone who is going through a winter season? What does that look like? Maybe Janine, I'll get you to start.
For me, it's just, you know, it's just to be there for that person, you know. And just to listen, because sometimes to be a good listener is also good.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to hear your story. You know, they just want to, you know, like I've come to realize in the job that I do, you know, just to listen to people, you know, you listen to them and you hear all the complaints and this and that and that. And, you know, when they finish talk, then they ask you, what do you think? And then I said, well, it's just good to, you know, whatever you think is good for you, you know, whatever you think is the right thing for you to do or whatever, you know. But sometimes it's good to be just to be a good listener.
That's really good. Thank you, Pastor Stephen.
Practical things is perhaps stay around a group of friends that are going to encourage you, that are going to lift you up, that are not going to judge you. Of course, you don't want to be telling all your business to everybody. Yeah. Now, I mean that if you tell your business to everybody, there are some people who have a spirit of gossip. They can't wait to go and tell everybody else, oh, do you know what so-and-so is going through? So, of course, you've got a trusted group of friends that are going to encourage you, that are going to lift you up. And, of course, connect group is very important. Coming to church, turning up and just being in the presence of God is also important, just to keep yourself in the atmosphere of what God is doing. And you find that, you know, in your group of friends, you find that in your connect group, and you find that in church. And I think those are some of the key things, that the key practical things that you can do just to surround yourself with people.
Yeah. Thank you. Donovan?
Amen. Agree with what Janine and Pastor Steve have said. You know, no man is an island. Mm. You can't stand on your own.
Yeah.
You look at an example of Elijah. The one day he was casting down fire on the top of Mount Carmel and got all those pagan priests and people that didn't accept Jesus. I mean, he sorted them all out, but the next day he was running away from Jezebel. So we're all going to have our highs and lows.
Yep.
So, yes, God sees your heart. Mm. And if you're feeling down, if somebody's feeling down, support them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is where the church plays an important part.
Yeah, it's good.
Because we have senior pastors, we have elders, we have connect groups where we could go and just share a little bit.
Yeah.
So that you're not alone during this time.
Yeah.
It's not an easy time. We've been there, but everybody will be high and low.
Yep.
It's what we've got to face with, and don't lose focus on our sight of the Lord.
Yep.
Because He's for us.
Exactly.
That's so good. Who can be against us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Just to add, I just want to add to what Ms. Janine said. And a key thing is when we are going through tough times, you want people around you. You want to listen. You definitely want people to. You want people that would listen to you. And it's very important that if I've got the devil that's on my case, the good news is I have God fighting for me. But if I have God on my case, that's very tough, because ain't nobody's going to be fighting for me. I have to deal with the Lord myself. And so I think that when we give encouragement to people, it is really about listening to them and encouraging them, because you might have walked the same road, but the circumstances could be different in the sense that I walked the road wearing shoes. It's a road full of glasses, broken glass, but I've walked that road wearing shoes. But that other person might be walking the same road with no shoes. And so I think that we don't want to always spotlight our, this is what I did, this is what God did, but really it's about the encouragement of God is faithful. God is going to get you through. And I think that's, it's quite important that when somebody is going through a difficult time, my job is to discern the season that they're in and actually work out that, you know, and I don't want to be a guy or a man that begins just to give false hope to people and say, next week your situation is going to change. Because I really want to know if they're in God's season. But what I can say is that keep holding on to the Lord. He's faithful. He's true.
Yeah.
He'll never let you down. Because otherwise, I then become a false prophet where I prophesy things because it's going to make the other person feel good. But God is not in those particular words.
Yeah, so good. I think at a practical level, it is important to make sure that when we don't ask people, we don't say to people, just let me know if you need anything. You know I've done that in the past. For a lot of people, when you say that, they'll say yes, but they never will. They won't let you know if they need anything. So it's actually better to step out and actually do whatever needs to be done. If they need help with their kids, help with the kids. If they need money, help with the money. If they need a meal, help cook a meal. Whatever you can do. It doesn't have to be anything big. If they need a visit, visit. If you can't visit for 2 hours, visit for 10 minutes. I do 10-minute visits and I feel great. I'm like, okay, I visited for 10 minutes because that's all I could give. So sometimes I think we have this black and white thinking where we think it's either I do it very well or I don't do it at all. But it is about do something, because for that person, that's everything. Because people need to feel cared for. And when we don't check on them, when we don't call them or do anything like that, then they feel neglected. As a church, we are a family. And I think sometimes we get caught up in this idea that I'm just going to mind my own business. I say stop minding your own business. If you feel like there's something wrong, ask if there's something wrong. Stop thinking, okay, I can't go there. You know, I don't know them that well. Like, we just stop ourselves from blessing people. So finish off with this scripture from Mark 12, verse 30. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The next one is 1 John 4:19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So at the end of the day, our ability and capacity to love people in a healthy way, our ability and capacity to have a good relationship with ourselves and with God is really dependent on the understanding that God started it all. So we have to go back to him because he is the source of everything and he will empower us. We talked about the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but in order to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you have to put yourself in that space and say, okay, God, I'm listening. So please, did you want to finish off with something, Pastor Stephen, before we say anything?
No, that's that commandment, you know, love your neighbor as yourself is very critical. Because if I don't love myself, from where am I getting the strength to love somebody else? So that's very important that you got to love yourself. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's just that real, genuine self-image, self-esteem thing, not this hocus-pocus, weird kind of love that we see on social media, but a genuine, healthy love for oneself, because from there, you'll be able to love other people genuinely. Yep. Because I tell you this, if you don't love yourself and you're trying to love somebody else, what you're going to do is that you're going to be measuring. And when people don't acknowledge what you're doing, then you're going to be bitter because your motivation for loving them is not true, is not rooted in love. And so that's why I think that when it's the motivation is good, which is from loving yourself, then I think that springboards the love that you have for other people.